Well, so today we are going to visit with 2 Kings, everyone's favorite kings. 2 Kings, and we will visit with 2 prophets of God who have been working together for some time. One is Elijah, the elder, who has reached the end of his ministry at the beginning of this story. The other is Elisha, the younger. So Elijah, older, Elisha, younger. Elisha, who has followed and served at Elijah's side. When they first met, Elijah was just passing by while Elisha was working in a field, and Elijah ran up to him and threw his mantle over him. It's kind of a drive-by ordaining, which sounds familiar sometimes. Feels like things can happen fast, even if you've been preparing for a long time. There has since then always been a powerful bond between these 2 prophets. They have worked and served together, journeyed together, been unpopular together. So today you'll hear how the prophetic retirement plan looks pretty wild. And you'll hear how, when it is time for them to part, it is hard and it is sad, as it can be. So listen in.
And both of these readings are from the 2 book of Kings. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I'm taken from you." Elisha said, "Please, let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in 2 pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When he had struck the water was parted to one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Here ends the scripture.
So I am just back from Milwaukee. 6 days there with all these delegates and friends from around the United Church of Christ, some of whom I'm glad to still see today. I am largely a fried cheese curd-based organism right at this moment. I feel like I am going to be working off this trip for a little while, but it was wonderful to be there. We did what we do when we gather. We worshiped, learned, listened, and discerned and decided things in the special way that we do in the United Church of Christ. We have had, for hundreds of years, through our ancestors, a wild notion that when we gather in community, we might listen and hear how the Spirit of God is moving in our midst and calling to us as God's people. And so we do gather to worship with one another and to discern how God was moving and how God is moving and calling us to move. And so we gather to listen to God here too, and for the heart and mind of Christ in our lives and in our world. I think that that did actually happen for me last week. I think I'm always a little skeptical getting on the plane. Is it going to work this time? Are we going to feel God's presence together? But I think I said before I left, I always truly do learn something new, some new experience of another's life that I had never thought of comes to light. Some new piece of the church unfolding to meet this new day, this new morning of our common life that you can sometimes see on the horizon when it's a clear day like today. Sometimes it is really uncertain where the horizon is for us as the church. There were lots of things to notice, and in the weeks to come, I'll be sharing some of the resolutions and the actions of the synod so that you might hear what we heard, and we might be in conversation about that and see how we're called to respond. Remember, that's the way the United Church of Christ works. The General Synod speaks to the churches, not for them, and so we owe it to them to listen closely. It does call us to new directions and to changes in our lives whenever we gather together. But today I just wanted to say, no matter how you gather, whether it be with Robert's Rules of Order or whether it be by consensus or whether it be just stand very, very still and wait for God to move, even the Spirit's presence doesn't mean it's easy. It is quite simply often messy. Maybe partly because of the ingredients involved. We are, and so it is. Elijah and Elisha show us exactly that today. I kind of love this story. I love that it always reminds me of what it must be like to get dropped off at camp. Or if you've ever dropped off a small child to get on the airplane the first time by themselves, you know, you put that big tag around their necks. Can you just go with me a little further? So great that you drove me here. Could you just walk me to my cabin? Don't you want to see my cabin? Don't you want to stay for dinner, Mom? Can't you just go with me a little further? It is hard for that big drop-off. It is hard to stand on our own when we love and care so much for those who have walked with us. So Elisha, over and over again, can't I just go with you a little further, Elijah? Can't I just go with you across the Jordan? Can't I see your cabin, Elijah? It is always hard to let go of the ways we have related to one another. Our mentors in faith and life ground us in identity, in aspiration. We heard that. And sometimes they ground us in the safety of their authority. I can step back because someone is stepping forward. I wonder how we might more directly give thanks for those who mentor us. I wonder how we might be challenged like Elisha. Remember, the challenge here is Elisha must not look away from the change. You have to stare at it. You have to see it. You cannot look away. You have to look at the change, and then you ask for what? Blessing. We need to be unafraid to stare down the changes ahead of us and to bless one another as we hand off. Step down and step up. This is not just a challenge in kind of institutions or in our personal lives. It's also a challenge for our families. I just want to go ahead and say, We all struggle with these changes as we age and relationships change. We go from children to, let's just face it, adult children. We can still kind of hang out under our parents' auspices a little bit. But then somewhere in there, there is often a need for children to become caregivers. Caregivers for their parents. This is not for the faint of heart. I think I heard a New England amen out there. Nobody tends to enjoy this kind of graduation day, but it is one that is often coming for us. Yet I know that I have seen families struggle without, and some families set free by, having conversation in which this mantle of care is deliberately passed. In which we are able to say, I know that I am stepping back. I know that I will need your care. I know that that will be hard. It's okay to say that that will be hard. But how can we look at that change and then name the blessing in it? Thanks be to God for family members that have raised us up. And thanks be to God for family members who will help us as we rest easy. We have to face into these moments of transition and do the hard work of releasing and blessing one another in our families, in our lives, and in the church to discover a path across the Jordan again. Remember the Jordan always, whenever you're crossing the Jordan, freedom, right? Crossing the Jordan, the freedom to release Elijah from his ministry and to take up the mantle. Freedom crossing the Jordan to go up and do ministry as the new prophet. To claim, we must always claim that unique way in which we are just like and nothing like the people and communities that raised us up. So I've just been away on official business, so pardon me. The preamble for the Constitution of the United Church of Christ says this: we affirm the responsibility of the church in each generation to make this faith its own in reality of worship, in honesty of thought and expression, and in purity of heart before God. I love this. I mean, maybe it's not surprising that like a pastor is into churchy things, but I hope I have never given the impression that I'm like really into preambles of constitutions in general. Okay, we the people. So we the people, and also we affirm the responsibility of every generation. Those two preambles, okay? But no more. In every generation, we are called to make this faith our own. And therefore, it is the responsibility of the previous generation to encourage the taking up of that mantle, and to release the next generation from what has worked for us. And I'm including myself in that us, right? Because no matter what it says on my driver's license, it is clear from where I am standing, the church as it has been has worked great for me. And I need to go ahead and say that for hundreds of years, the church has been working great for people who look like me. And that is not a good thing. Maybe that is not a sign of good health. Maybe that is a sign that we have not recently been asking how each new generation will make the faith its own in worship, in thought and expression, and in heart. We have work to do to face the changes coming and to bless one another in those changes. And so I am always thankful to gather with the wider church and to see all of the diversity of expression and all of the yearning for diversity and expression, which we still have work to do on in the United Church of Christ. And to find ways to tenderly release the ministry that has brought us joy into the hands of those who will pick it up and carry it forward. So, throughout our time at General Synod, we kind of kept getting news updates. Our Southwest Conference spoke up the first night we were together to let us know of reports from in their midst of raids that were being enacted, of immigrant families that were being swept up in raids around their area, particularly in the Phoenix area. We got reports of tenderness and fear and resistance from our UCC Latinx ministries. Literally, the last thing we heard as we closed our time together in the Synod was of the death of Oscar Alberto Martinez and his daughter in the Rio Grande. And we wish there was a mantle that could be rolled up and strike the waters and make a clear path for the crossing. The question of how we might respond or be the church in these days was kind of hanging over us then through every step of this process. And so on Monday, the Synod voted to call a halt to the business of the meeting and chose instead to go and be with others in public witness at the local Immigration and Customs Enforcement Office in Milwaukee. I'm very pleased that first what they did is they asked people locally on the ground how we might be of service. It made for a powerful statement, a church on the move. I would say, you know, probably 600 or 700 people marched out of the Milwaukee Convention Center and through Milwaukee and across the river and to the ICE office there. What most impressed me was the local organizers of the action who were waiting for us. Most of them much younger than I am, which makes them officially very young in UCC standards. And yet when the church arrived, there was a meeting of the minds, and we were distributed to the four corners of the intersection by that office, organized and directed by these young people. And they kind of stayed at either end of the block, keeping the, because remember, this is how it goes. If you stand on the sidewalk, you're disturbing the peace. If you walk on the sidewalk, you're walking. So guess what we did? Walked. What you don't want to do, by the way, is get stuck on a sidewalk that goes uphill, because let me tell you, my calves are doing great. But they stood at either end of those blocks, encouraging and turning us around, and it was amazing to see these church people who, yes, I got to say, probably knew a protest or two in their youth in a different era, gladly taking up a role of servant. How could they best be of service and of witness? But it also made my heart more glad to see the kind of smile that these young people kind of got. Who are these church people and where have they come from? Smiling both that we had all shown up to be with them, but clearly smiling and kind of standing a little taller as they realized their place as leaders and as directors of this action, this sense that they were called to lead in this moment, and that we were giving that freely. A blessing of the generations took place there. No one crossed the Jordan, but a few people crossed the street a few times, and no trucks crossed our lines carrying detainees that day. And leaders grew in spirit and in power. This is for us, the church, to make the faith our own for the living of these days, renewed by the witness of those who have gone before, and called to pass on our own blessings to the next. It is for us, the church, to consider how we are training up leaders and granting them the power to walk new paths in freedom and liberation for all. It is for us, the church, to see the change, to ask for a blessing, and to bless, that there may be, as the Apostle Paul said, glory to God, whose power working through us is capable of more than we could ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus. So I want to give thanks for all of those people who have mentored you. And I want to give thanks for all those who you will mentor. Be unafraid to see the change. Be unafraid to bless and empower and release, so that we might be unafraid. Let us call out those names of those ancestors, those mentors, those supporters in the faith. What names would you lift up to God this day?